up, though? Episode 2. You know, before we get into this, I just gotta be honest. This is like a milestone for me. Man, my friends will tell you, I was so nervous about doing a podcast. I don't even know why. I'll be honest, I don't know why. It was like I didn't have a problem putting out devotionals. I didn't have a problem putting out a book. I didn't have a problem. I don't know why the podcast thing kind of just shook me a little bit. I couldn't tell you why, man, but I'm happy we are here. So let's go. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit about social distancing and evangelism. I am in Michigan. And I said that a couple of times just because, number one, I'm really proud to be a Michigander. And number two, we were one of the, well, I don't know if we were one of the last, but we were, it was a big thing that Michigan didn't have any coronavirus cases, considering there's so many, you know, the Big Ten is really prominent here. You have MSU, U of M, a lot of college students, you know, Western, Eastern, Ferris, even the community colleges, Wayne State. So a lot of college students, a lot of spring break, a lot of travel, and we weren't getting a lot of coronavirus cases. We didn't have any up to probably about to this day of this recording, almost two and a half weeks ago. And then within the last 2 weeks, we shot up. I mean, man, we got so many cases so fast. Unfortunately, we also had a couple of deaths, and God bless those families. So our governor, who I believe is doing a great job, she's working so hard. I don't know her personally, so this isn't like a kudos to her. I mean, what do you do when you're facing something so unseen and unprecedented, right? Like, what can you do? So I think she's working hard, and shout out to all the nurses and the doctors. Man, everyone is just trying their best given the resources we have allocated to us. And so anyway, up until I think it was yesterday. Well, it started at midnight today. Today is the 24th, I think, of March. The governor put us on a stay at home, which you can go grocery shopping, you can get gas, you can do, so some essential businesses are open as well. You know, grocery stores, of course, gas stations, banks, restaurants. So, you know, they're open as well. But she's been working hard. She's been, you know, every day there's something new. You know, schools, first it started off with schools, and, you know, restaurants and bars couldn't serve until 3 o'clock. And then like at that day, they couldn't serve anymore outside of pickup and delivery. And then she shut down nail salons, barbershops. It's just all in the name of trying to, the curve, right? We're trying to flatten the curve. So we are now in this place where we're in the house, right? We're in the house. And so, you know, in doing that, I've been studying and reading a ton. It's only been a couple hours, but I've been reading a ton. I'm a reader anyway. And one of the things that I've read or ran across were a couple of articles. And today I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to talk about social distancing and evangelism. One of the articles said about 50% of millennial Christians believe evangelism is wrong. And I thought that was real interesting. But on the other side of that spectrum, other side of that coin, you see churches getting outside of their comfort zone. We're no longer on the pulpit. God is forcing us to be creative and use tools that are out there that a lot of other people are evangelizing on, right? Businesses evangelize all the time. It's called marketing. So I wanted to kind of talk about my thoughts about that. And then I wanted to also give some Facebook algorithm tips. If you guys don't know, I'm a marketer. That is my business. I market, and I'm not that great yet, but my goal is to get better. I actually really, what we really do is like print banners and help businesses build their websites. But of course, my goal is to become like really great at marketing. We have a couple of businesses that I really want to learn how to market, so I've been studying a lot about Facebook. So that's what today's episode is about. Hope you enjoy. Hey guys, I wanted to share with you our store, InfluenceUnlimited.com. It is spelled UNLMTD for the unlimited portion, and you can find it at www.InfluenceUnlimited.com, UNLMTD. Our store sells Christian apparel, wristbands, and hats for now. We want to grow it, but for now, that's what we have. It is directly inspired by biblical verses. So the message of hope is very prominent. The message of just glorifying God is very prominent. You can find us on Facebook at Influence Unlimited. If you wanted to purchase and support, you get 20% off if you use the code DISRUPTOR. DISRUPTOR. Hope you enjoy. Check us out. Told you in the intro, you gotta feel the energy in my voice. I feel so excited to be here sharing these thoughts with you. Like I mentioned, I ran across an interesting article. Well, a couple of them, but one really stuck out to me. And that was the one about the millennials, 50% of them thinking evangelism is wrong. And I thought that was so interesting. Now, the article, I gotta be honest, it was written by Barna, the Barna Group. So BARNA.com. I put the link inside the copy of this podcast episode so you can kind of, you know, reference it and review it. But I wanted to do a couple of things. So I'll break down what we're gonna do today. Today we're gonna talk about a brief overview of the article. We're going to have a brief overview on the idea of social distancing, and then we're going to go into a 9-step Facebook algorithm tool for churches who have to kind of get outside of their comfort zone in this new era that we're living in of social distancing and social media. So I just want to give some tools to the church leadership and the church communication team, marketing team, that can help them. And then also some tools for millennials who are like, hey, I don't want to evangelize right now because I just feel like it's not right. It's wrong because I don't want to invade someone's privacy or offend somebody. All the while, we're living in a time where people are dying and they're really sick, and it's just a time where people need a message more of hope than a message of, you know, crashing markets, stimulus checks, increasing cases of a pandemic in your region. So this is a time where a message of hope should be more prominent. But according to this article, this is also a time where people feel like it should be more reserved. So let's talk about the article real quick. Like I mentioned, we're going to start there and then we're going to go into this idea of social distancing, and then we're going to tie it all together with me giving tips for those who feel like they want to support their church, and this is how you could do it. Okay, so this article was written, like I said, by Barna Research. Barna Research, great research. This article isn't dated. It's not dated as far as like 5 years ago. And you know how some people could pull an article and it's from 2012 or 2017 or something. This was last year, February 5th. So this is very recent information. This isn't, you know, like a 10-year-old thing. This is very recent information. And the article goes to say a few things that I found were real interesting. And I'm going to highlight those things I find are interesting. So, for example, there's three things that I found very interesting in this article. Number one, 75% or a little less were ready but not willing to talk about their faith. In other words, they knew exactly what to say if they were questioned. Example, hey, why do you believe in Jesus? I know exactly what to ramble off. But if they see somebody, they didn't know how to initiate. Okay? Second thing I thought was interesting. It talks about conviction in this article. It talks about conviction. So conviction is having something you believe in really deep. So it kind of goes on to say how, well, I interpreted it to say, we look at evangelism from this perspective of what Jesus told us to make disciples of all nations. Yet for 50% of millennials who were surveyed, that's not strong enough for them to still do it. Right? That whatever their excuse, I've personally heard many excuses. Right? I've personally heard several excuses. That was 2,000 years ago. People are more reserved nowadays. You know, it's hard to do it. I've heard many excuses. I don't think it's a good idea if we go to people's houses. And I don't think it's a good idea. You know, I don't think it's a good idea if we stop them when they're shopping. I've heard them all. Right? And then it talks about the last thing. It talks about your upbringing. And the idea of teaching our children to be resilient. So it talks about your upbringing. It says, I didn't read it in a negative way, but it looks at, to me, I look at it and it's like, hey, parents, we have to do a better job at teaching our children to be resilient. I don't look at that as a negative thing because I agree with that. I agree with that. Again, like I said in the first article, we don't want to be Ned Flanders, right? You don't want to just take your kids to church every Sunday, but then give them no context Monday through Saturday, right? Why do we believe what we believe as a family? So here's what I'm gathering from this so far. To me, it's showing me that when I read people know what to say when they're questioned, to me, it's kind of like you think about an employee at a local grocery store or tech agency, and they know they have scripts, right? Again, like I told you guys, I was in real estate, so I know scripts, right? So I can, if you are telling me, no, I want to sell the house on my own, you know, I want to try that market first, I know the exact script that can give me an interview. So to me, that's what I see right now. But what they're missing is there still has to be a personal element. So I was always taught, know your script, know key triggers, but also tell a personal story. When you think about salvation, a book of Revelation tells us people are saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So your testimony, word of mouth marketing, is huge, right? So let's go back to this article. One section here, it says what this research means. And it quotes the president of Barna Group, David Kinnaman, I hope I pronounced that correctly, and it says that the study highlights a need for Christians to bolster their confidence in certain convictions. For example, the belief that evangelizing others is good and worthy of our time, energy, and investment. Okay? Then he goes on, he continues. He says, you want to cultivate deep, steady, resilient Christian conviction. It's difficult in a world of you do you and don't criticize anyone's life choices. The feeling's first priority that our culture makes a way of life as much as ever. Evangelism isn't just about saving the unsaved, but reminding ourselves that this stuff matters. The Bible is trustworthy and Jesus changes everything. So, again, what do you actually really believe? That's what I call when I read this. What do you actually really believe? What do you feel is true and dear? It also goes on, the article also goes on to say that as generations go on, Gen Z is the next generation coming up, they are more, they have a less religious thought. Like, they're more atheistic, so to speak, because they're growing up in a culture of you do you. They're growing up less about sharing your faith and more about, you know, how do I get more likes? How do I get more shares? How do I get more retweets? So I thought that was interesting, which leads to this next thought: social distancing and social media. So now we're dealing with a couple of dilemmas here and a couple of thoughts. You have people who, 50%, for example, who naturally are like, I don't want to say anything to anyone because I don't want to be offensive. And then you're dealing with a pandemic that's forcing people to no longer hide in a Sunday service and not share their faith throughout the week, because pastors are forced now to get outside of their pulpit and talk to an audience they may have never seen using social media. And I think that's amazing. I think that's powerful. So now social distancing, and I, you know, just to circle back to that, I also think that that's kind of just what we had to do anyway, but the church for some reason or another always seems to lag behind culture. And I don't know if it's because we take Romans 12:2 way too literal, right? Like, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. But I think if we can get in front of the patterns of this world, ahead of the patterns of this world, we can win so many more people for Christ, right? Like, if we can get ahead of media, if we can get ahead of technology, right? Not be reactionary, but be proactive, be ahead of it, right? Like, I think we can do so many more things than if we were always constantly trying to avoid it for fear of XYZ. Facebook could be an amazing tool if you understand how it works, and that's what I'm going to give you last, you know, some tips. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram for sure could be a positive, very powerful tool. TikTok now can be a very powerful tool. So I think, you know, get ahead of the technology and use it for the glory of God. So now, circling back now, I just kind of went on a whim there. Social distancing. So now, you know, we have a pandemic. Scary times that we're in. Like I mentioned in the intro, Michigan, we were like one of the last to report the pandemic. Us in Ohio. And to date of this recording, we have tripled Ohio's cases. And, you know, everyone's trying to figure out why. They're saying, hey, maybe it's because of the primaries, and Ohio canceled their primaries and they locked everything down, and then Michigan still had theirs on the 10th of March. And, you know, so, you know, our governor's like, hey, 6 feet, if you could do more, you know, stay in your house, all of which I agree. And then you read Italy saying, well, we don't even know if that's working, right? Because people are dying even more. So we don't even know what's going on at this point. So social distancing is, I feel like our world has changed forever. And I don't know if the I don't know if it's ever going to, or at least for the near future, if we're going to get back to that point where we feel comfortable elbowing or, you know, high-fiving people and hugging people. I'll tell you, me personally, I miss shaking people's hands and hugging them. I really do. I miss it. But now, how do we evangelize in this social distancing world? Because we still have to, right? Every company does it. Every company does it. Some companies do it differently. Marketing is huge now, right? The business world calls evangelism marketing. Google actually has an evangelist team. Google AdWords evangelist. Google Analytics evangelist. That's their titles. So your job is just to go around and talk about analytics or AdWords and so on and so forth. So evangelism should not escape. It should not be ignored. It needs to be confronted, and it needs to be ahead of the curve. So how do we do that? How do we get millennials uncomfortable with being too comfortable? And I think when you know you have a God that's amazing, you tell everybody. It's like a restaurant. You go to a restaurant and you're like, man, this food was so fire. You're telling everybody about that food, right? Because word of mouth is the best marketing. When you have a God that's a healer, when you have a God that's a deliverer, when you have a God who is a way maker, it's not enough to sing it on Sunday or in the car when no one's looking. You have to give this message of hope right now. So now, let's lead to this last point. I told you I won't be long today. I wanted to, the kids are out of school, so I want to help them with their homework and stuff. And, you know, we're at home, so I want to spend some time with my guys, you know. So I wanted to lead to this last point. How can we now evangelize and help our church grow its reach with social distancing and still feeling like, hey, I don't want to be invasive? I'm just going to throw this out there. The idea of not being invasive has to be thrown out the window right now, because people are really hurt. They're really afraid. And I understand the fear. I understand the uncertainty. I get the anxiety. I get that. I understand that. I don't live and operate by that. I won't let it overwhelm and overtake me, because I know that my God has defeated death and the grave. But I also know there's some people who don't know that. There's some people who need to know, hey, I'm sorry you're going through what you're going through. Can I pray for you? Can I love on you? This is why I put the message of Jesus and the leper in the copy, in the description. Because Jesus touched. So how do you touch in a social distancing world? You touch by getting involved. You touch by retweeting, by sharing. You touch by tagging a friend. You touch by sharing word of mouth marketing, because that's what people need right now. If you study the story of the leper, actually, if you read, I think it was Millennial Kingdom Leader. If you read Millennial Kingdom Leader, the devotional on YouVersion, I mentioned the leper. I mentioned the story of Naaman, and I mentioned a leper. And if you learn that there were many lepers, but God chose to heal Naaman. And it wasn't, God is no respecter of man. It wasn't because Naaman was Naaman. It wasn't because the story would have been better. It's because there's a story here that God wanted us all to see. Because Jesus ended up touching a leper later on in his life that no one wanted to touch. And the story is this. In Old Testament times, Hebrew culture was, if you have leprosy, ostracize yourself. Like, get away from the public. is contagious. Number two, which is really the primary reason, you are thought to have committed a sin. Either you or your family generationally committed such a sin that God has decided to judge you with a disease of leprosy, which is contagious. This is where we're at now, guys. COVID-19 is contagious. Stay inside your home is the message that's being echoed. But Jesus still touched. The message is also stay 6 feet away from people. Wash your hands. Don't shake hands. Elbow bump. Don't shake hands. Cover your face. And then I read a message today that said if you wear gloves, it might be worse for you. Yeah, because you're touching and you're not changing your gloves, right? So you're touching stuff and then you go back to do whatever you're doing and it might be worse. So how do you touch if two things are happening? You don't want to offend anybody and you're being called to be socially distant. Number one, Jesus didn't operate in a spirit of comfort or in a spirit of I don't want to offend you. I personally believe it's more offensive to not touch. Yeah, I do. I personally believe it's more offensive to look at somebody and be like, ew, cooties. But I also believe you got to follow the laws. So what do you do in social distancing? Word of mouth marketing is key. Key. So you tag people. You even tell your friend, hey, we were just talking last night, bro. Check out the 5-minute mark. You share it with people. You share it on your profile with a little message on top. Hey, I know a lot of people are going through a lot right now in these uncertain times, but my pastor just posted this video and I think it'll be very helpful for you. It's no longer a time where it's okay to hide in row 10, seat 5 at your church on Sunday and have this big faith that nobody can know about. The world needs us. What does the Bible tell us? The world is groaning, waiting for the manifestations of the children of God. Yearning. Different translations say it differently, but the core element is the same. The world is waiting on you to say something. And if you feel like saying something is still too difficult, and I understand that, I'm not judging you for that. I understand the fear of public speaking. I struggled with it for so long, and how I addressed it was I took specific classes and courses in college that forced me to communicate. So I switched my major to communications, and I learned how to do public speaking, and I learned how to do nonverbal cues, and I thought those things were very important for me. But the world is yearning, groaning, waiting for somebody to show that they are a child of God. So again, if you're struggling with public speaking, and maybe it's just a public speaking fear, because you're ready to say something if you're questioned, but you don't want to initiate. So let's look at these 9 tips to help your church grow. One of them is kind of, you know, circling back to what we're talking about now. And, you know, I think these will be helpful for your church, and they'll be helpful to help, you know, they'll be helpful for you when it's time for you to start initiating conversations. And see, you already have the tools to answer when someone's, when the conversation starts. So if you post on your timeline, hey, I think this would be really cool, guys, check it out, people look at it and they say something, you already have it. You're ready. You're queued up. So Let's look at these. I got this information from Hootsuite, HOOTSUITE.com. I put their link in the copy in the description of this podcast episode. Hootsuite is my thing. I study a lot of their blogs. Man, they're so good with digital marketing. So I'm not promoting them, didn't get paid for it. Just wanted to give you this reference here. 2020 algorithm for Facebook. Facebook looks at ranking signals. Okay? So some of the three major categories are who a user typically interacts with, the type of media in the post, video, link, photo, and the popularity of the post. Okay, so those are three things that you really want to look at when you start building your campaign and you start church leaders, communication team, when you start helping your church get out. Millennials who are afraid to talk, you know, who may have a fear of public speaking, or who in general just don't want to offend people. These are things that people want to look at. They want to see that communication, okay? Because the communication and engagement is perfect for you, who you're ready to say something, right? So, 9 tips. Ready? Tip number 1. Start conversations that get people talking to each other. Perfect. Right? Perfect. This is perfect for someone who, again, is like, hey, uncomfortable, but I know what to say. I know how to contribute and add value to this conversation. Okay? So, something about that. According to Facebook, one of the algorithm's key ranking signals is whether the user has previously engaged with your page. And while no one is going to interact with your brand page like they would with their friends' pages, those likes and shares go a long way towards increasing your reach on future posts. Okay? So, you got to put a little work into this. Right? To get your church in the forefront of the post feeds, right? So what you're looking for is stuff that's, you know, maybe curious, maybe funny, maybe interesting or inspiring. There's a lot of inspirational messages being posted right now online. Share those and then have a conversation about them. Okay? Number 2, post when your audience is online. So for churches, I mean, we're posting Sunday all day. But even try something different. Maybe move your Wednesday Bible study, maybe pre-recorded. Live is always better, but maybe pre-recorded and post it at noon on Wednesday. And then leave the rest of the day for dialogue. Try something different. Maybe move your Monday prayer meeting to noon. Those are times where you know, business to consumer brands post and perform best. Okay, number 3. Never post content that will get you downranked. So that's like links to sites that, you know, use stolen content, but they add no value. Offensive content, misinformation or fake news, misleading health information or dangerous cures. You know, manipulative videos. So dangerous cures. Wanted to stop there for a second. That's just, there's that's a fine line. I know that, see, I grew up in a Hispanic household and we treated everything we treated everything with Robitussin, Vicks Vapor Rub, and Verner's. Like that was a cure, man. I remember one time I really injured my football, or my finger playing football, and no lie, man, we took some duct tape and 2 popsicle sticks, tied that sucker around my finger, and it was like, go out, go play. Like, that's not it, man. Don't tell people to don't tell people to take some Robitussin and some burners and you'll be all right. That's not it. That's not what we're gonna do here. All right. You know, but offering prayer is statistically known to help. right? It's not just a spiritual thing. The science has literally shown people with prayer, like who attribute prayer to their healing. So offer prayer. That's a cure, man. God hears those things. You know, we know the blood works. So share truth. Don't share old remedies that I grew up on. Don't tell everybody Verner's is a cure, because it's not. It's good. It helped me. Like, if I got a stomachache, Verner's is a cure. But don't share that. 4, post high quality videos longer than 3 minutes, excuse me. Post high quality videos longer than 3 minutes. So Facebook announced that the news feed would increasingly surface quality original content. Okay? So the algorithm is increasing the influence of these 3 ranking factors. Here we go. Loyalty and intent is a ranking factor. Videos that people search for and return to. Loyalty and intent of original videos. Video length and view duration. Videos that people watch past the 1 minute mark and that are longer than 3 minutes. Okay? That's a quality video. So people are watching for longer than 1 minute or past the 1 minute mark, but the video is long. The video itself is longer than 3 minutes. And then 3, originality. Videos that are repurposed from other sources that have plenty of added value. So take someone's content and then just add more to it if you want, or just do your own thing. Okay, videos that are not repurposed from other sources and that have plenty of added value. So I'm sorry, do not take somebody's stuff. Make your own thing. Make your own thing. Okay? Make your own thing. Yes, well, we're all quoting the Bible. We're all just reading the same text. And that's okay. Your perspective will make it unique. Your perspective will make it unique. Your life story will make it unique. How are people saved again? From the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your word of mouth testimony makes your experience unique. Be original. Okay? There's no 2 snowflakes that are alike, man. So just be yourself and post those videos, all right? 5, post often and consistently. That goes without saying, okay? Don't just do it on Sundays. And when you're sharing it, you know, don't just share that Sunday. Like, encourage your leadership to post more often so it can help you get out your comfort zone and share the message. 6, leverage Facebook groups that are meaningful to your audience. So connect with other groups. Okay? 7, support your organic wins with paid ads. Again, help your church. So let's say they post something that's not like a video, it's just like a post. Let's say it's just a picture of something inspirational. You know, initiate conversation, increase engagement, and then encourage the church to put $5 behind it. It's not, Facebook is a lot cheaper to, their PPC model, their advertising model is a lot more cost effective than I would say Google. And it's in places that I believe now, besides YouTube, which Google owns, it's in places that people are going to be searching a lot more. People are going to do less and less searching on mobile for pizza delivery because, I mean, you get it, right? It's just make it at home now, right? But people are going to be on Instagram. They're going to be on Facebook. They're going to be on YouTube a lot. So Facebook is a lot cheaper than, you know, YouTube and Google. And just increase the engagement on those posts and then encourage your communications team. Hey, share this. Put some money behind it. 8, let your followers know how to prioritize your content in their newsfeed. So tell people, hey, make this one of those things that you see first. Don't unfollow us, just make it something you see first. 9, here we go, to the 50% who are afraid to talk, yet 75% know exactly what to say when they're questioned. This one is for you. Empower church leaders and communication teams. Empower your people to advocate for you. What does that mean? I said it earlier, right? Tag your friends. Share the content. Initiate conversations. Engage. Share hope, right now. Share hope. Share hope. That's what being a disruptor is about. That's why we created this podcast. People need more hope. So that's what we're going to do with this podcast, man. We're going to look at stuff like that. We're going to talk more about ways we can help the church get ahead of technology and really disrupt culture in a positive way. We're going to talk about different things. I'm also going to equip you with a lot of tools. I have some podcasts coming up about prayer, about spirits, and you know, different tools. But I want to encourage you. This is a time for you to speak. Share hope. People need it more than ever. A lot of people are going to need to be given a message of hope and love right now to help them deal with grief and fear. I got some friends that, you know, are working from home, and I thank God for that. I also got some other friends who lost their job, you know, and their job is staying temporarily, you know, but you don't know what's going to happen because you don't know how long this pandemic's going to last, right? I'm hoping that it'll last until Easter. I'm hoping it's a Passover thing, but, you know, there's some people who may lose their homes. You don't know what the mortgage company wants to do. You know, their 401k, they don't even want to look at the 401k right now, and I understand. Totally understand. So I want you to share, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And if you're like, hey, I'm practicing social distance, so I can't go to Walmart and just minister to people. I can't go on the street and just minister to people. I get it. Use social media to evangelize. Help your church create content that will spark conversations to which 75% of you are ready for already. Right? You're ready for that. Okay? So I'm signing off. Love you. Thank you for listening. Please, if you haven't, subscribe to it. You know, we're new. I don't even know. Can you subscribe to podcasts? I don't know how that stuff works. But if you can, if you can, right? Subscribe. And thank you. I love you. God bless.